My association with this church goes back many, many years. I haven't time to enlarge upon that this morning, but I'll do that tonight, all being well. Has anyone ever said to you, you haven't changed one bit? Since I retired all those years ago, I've been around all these different churches. And many people have said, you haven't changed one bit. Now, when I get to know them, my response to that is simply this. I hope I didn't always look like this. All those years ago when I first came to Lurgan, I had less wrinkles and certainly had more hair. But life will never be the same again. That's what an old man said to me over the phone Wednesday night. That's what a young pastor said to me when I went to the prayer meeting on the same evening. Life will never be the same again. I can't even shake hands with folk this morning. I'll miss that. And when lockdown came 4 months ago, I used to walk down the street. And I love meeting people. And I just had to wave at them on the side of the street. But bless God this morning, we have an unchanging Savior in a changing world. And this day we want to look at helps from Hebrews. And I'm absolutely full of it. I was almost going to preach in Romans 8:28, but I like a theme, so our theme is helps from Hebrews. So therefore, if you know your Bible, you will know. Hebrews 13, verses 1 to 8. Let us hear the word of God. Hebrews 13, verse number 8. Hebrews 13, verse number 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them which are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have. For he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who've spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. So reads the word of the living God. Now, the young pastor never enjoyed the best of health. And he was advised by the medical world to go and live in a warmer climate, which eventually he did. But on the 10th day of October, 1847, he preached his final sermon on that little Baptist church in Devon. All the people were very sad because they loved the pastor. He was a good preacher, a good pastor. He seemed to have all the gifts rolled into one. But you can understand because of his complaint. He was very, very tired at the end of that particular Sunday. But he did something that perhaps very few can do. He went into his study that night and wrote a very famous hymn which many people know and sing on so many different occasions. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. One of the verses he said, change and decay, and all around I see, O thou who changest not, abide with me. William Light was a man who recognized that his circumstances were changing. He had just officially retired and he was going to live in another country. So for him, my friends, everything was changing. But he recognized that in a changing world amidst changing circumstances, he had a great unchanging friend. And his name was Jesus. I preached in Killyleagh, where I came from last Sunday, brought up just about half a mile from the Baptist church. And as I turned off the main Cumber Road to go up this wee by road where I was brought up, I used to know every house in that Tolly McNoys Road. But I didn't know one of them except my own nephew and niece. We're living in a changing world. Many Baptist churches are changing. Circumstances are changing. We all change. But bless God, Jesus never changes. Now, the writer to the Hebrews, and I believe it was Paul, had two or three very good reasons for writing this letter. First of all, in chapter 6, verse number 1, he says, "Let us go on." And God wants us to go on with him. Let me challenge you this morning. Are you going on with the Lord? Can you say every day with Jesus? It's sweeter than the day before, every day with Jesus. I love him more and more. During lockdown, my friends, I've read many more books than what I ever read. Because even since I retired, I was always preaching, so you didn't have time to read too much. But those first 10 or 11 weeks, churches were closed. And apart from exercising, my friends, I don't know many books I read. But I read in particular lectures to my students. I read it many years ago, C.H. Spurgeon. And he has got a chapter called The Minister's Fainting Fits. And I just took a wee mental note of this when I read it all those years ago. To see the hopeful turn aside and sinners waxing more boldly in sin. Is this not enough to crush us to the earth? And let me say, my friends, in 50 years, 53 years in the Lord's work, I've had many encouragements. But having said that, many discouragement. I lived in Hollywood, still do, but I was in the Baptist church for 10 years. And one harvest, this fella came in off the street. And he chatted to the singer. And then I said, he says, could have come to see some night? Well, I said, I've got a meeting tonight after this. Tomorrow night, Monday night, I've got a children's meeting. If you would like to see me, come up to Inverguri Road on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, which he did. Of his own free will, he made a profession of faith. Of his own free will, I didn't force him. I went to see him twice, and then he got into hospital. Went to see him twice more. Third time, he says, I don't want to see you again. Talk about being discouraged, my friend. Of his own free will, my friends, he made a profession of faith. I can understand how Spurgeon felt. To see the hopeful turn aside and sinners waxing more bold in sin. Is this not enough to crush us to the earth? It was written to exhort believers to go on with the Lord. Let us go on, he said. Secondly, it was written to encourage believers who were undergoing tremendous persecution for their faith. And if no one else speaks at the Lord's table, I want to preach from Hebrews 12. Yeah. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint. It was no easy thing to be a Christian in Paul's day. Not easy to be a Christian in our day. You need to keep your eyes firmly fixed upon Jesus. But the main reason why the great man wrote this letter was to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And this he does by what I've simply called a series of contrasts between the good things of Judaism and the better things of Christ. In this wonderful letter, Christ is so much better than angels. He's so much better than Moses. He's so much better than Aaron. He's so much better than everyone who's ever come before or who will ever come after. So when he comes to Hebrews 13, verse number 8, he's begin to summarize all that he said about this wonderful person called the Lord Jesus. But he tells us, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. I'm one of those old-fashioned Christians. I suppose my age group does that. But I love the old-fashioned hymns. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. We want to learn just a few things about this wonderful person, the Lord Jesus. Billy Sunday was a baseball player who got converted, and he used to say to his students, preach nothing down but the devil, but nothing up but Christ. And that's what I want to do for the next 20 minutes or so. To exalt him. And he said, if I, even I, be lifted up, will draw all men to myself. First of all then, the first obvious thing, that Jesus Christ is always the same in his person. But that is simply mean he has always been and shall always be the Son of the living God. I want to enlarge upon that very quickly in two or three different ways, as the text would suggest. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. That simply means he was the same in eternity. He was the Son of God. I could prove that in two or three different ways very quickly by two or three verses that come to mind quite easily. John 8:58. Jesus was speaking to a group of Pharisees on one occasion, and this is what he said. Before Abraham was, I am. In other words, he was telling these people to whom he was speaking, even before Abraham was born, in the words of the old hymn, he was there all of the time. We used to have a lady in Clifton Park when I was there, Margaret Hunter. She's probably passing, and a lovely person. She used to sing that piece when I was there. He was there all of the time. Paul says to those believers at Colossae, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And John's gospel was written, my friends, to prove that Jesus was the Son of God. He commences his gospel with these tremendous words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word. I used to argue and debate with Jehovah's Witnesses until one Sunday they came just at 5 o'clock, and I was getting ready to go to preach, and I got all head up. So I said to myself, I'm not going to argue with them anymore, but what I'm going to say when they come, they haven't come since, bless God. I'm a born-again believer, and I've got the Holy Spirit, and I don't need anything else. But let me add very quickly, my friends, don't get into conversation, my friends, with the Jehovah's Witness When I went on to Mull those years ago, a letter from the secretary of Great Victoria Street asked me to call to see someone who was a member. I went along. Mrs. Cusin was her name. And she startled me. She said, "I've just started to go to do a correspondence course with the Jehovah Witness." And I was quite firm, and I said, "Why did you let them into your house in the first place?" She said, "I want to get to know more about the Bible." Know what Spurgeon said? If we're wrong about the person of Christ, we're wrong about every other thing. And that's very true. He's the same yesterday. He was the Son of God in eternity. And bless God, his circumstances changed when he left heaven's glory. But his person never changed. Yes, he was the Son of God when he lived in this world. At his very baptism, the Holy Spirit said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And bless God, if we live until tomorrow, he'd still be the Son of God on Monday, the 3rd of August, 2020. There was a famous preacher. I never preached in his church, but I was in his church, obviously not in his time, F.B. Maher, Melbourne Hall in Leicester. And he has written a lovely commentary in Hebrews, and when he comes to this text, he said, "What is affirmed in this text? That Jesus Christ has always been and shall always be the Son of God." That's the first main heading this morning. The second one is not just so obvious from the text, but from the context. You see, when the Bible was originally written, there were no such a thing as chapters and verses, but the translators put them here to make it more easily for us to understand. The second thing is, he's unchanging in his priesthood. Hebrews 7:24, tonight we want to preach on Hebrews 7:25. But in 7:24, he says this. I just quote from memory. "This man, because he has an unchangeable priesthood, abideth forever." My friends, I heard Sam Carson at a pastor's conference, not a pastor's conference, but when local boys used to do the Tuesday morning fellowship, "We don't think enough about the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ." And that's true. Because you see, people say, "Where's Jesus now? What's he doing now? He's no longer on the cross. He's no longer in the tomb." But after the great 40 days, he ascended up into heaven. And he's at God's right hand. And he's praying. That's what he says. In John 17, verse number 9, "I pray for them." This must have been a source of great encouragement to those poor, persecuted Hebrew Christians away back in the first century, to know that Jesus was not only their Savior, but Jesus was their sympathetic high priest. Bless God this morning. We have a man in glory, and his name is Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you're going through trials and testings that no one else knows about because you're a private person. We had a doctor and the wife came to Antrim when I was there, and then moved to Belfast, but we still kept in some touch with them. But she had already that disease, and then it spread. Know how she coped? She wrote to all her friends and said goodbye because she didn't want anyone to see her in her present condition. That's how people cope. But maybe you're here this morning, you're a private person. Maybe you're going through trials and testing that you don't want anyone else to know about. I want to tell you, there's a man in glory, and his name is Jesus. And he's praying for you. I don't like personal illustrations because it draws too much attention to yourself. But sometimes they're very helpful and needful. 8 years ago, Monday week all been well. I had a certain appointment at the Ulster Hospital. I didn't think it was too serious, but the surgeon said to me, "You've got a problem." I said, "Is it cancer?" "Yes." I said, "Are you sure?" "Yes." He said, 99.9. "Sure." Didn't hit me at that particular time, but going out through the gates of the Ulster Hospital, my friends, I thought, "I'm finished. I'm finished everywhere, preaching in every way." But bless God, God had other ideas. But I just happened to be my friends in hospital with, he was then secretary of Cumber Baptist Church. Jim Cosby might know his brother, but his wife Ruth has a sister in Australia. And because of that, my dear friends, there were people praying for me all over the world, and that was a great source of encouragement to me. But I recognize beyond that and above that, there was a man in glory, and his name was Jesus, and he was praying for you. That program in downtown, whatever time it was at, 8 o'clock, it's no longer, it's very sad. I used to listen to it, my friends, getting breakfast and getting dressed. Tanisha Jones used to conduct it. Very often she would give out a piece. "Someone is praying for you this very day, this very hour." But the hymn went on to say, "But Jesus is praying for you this very day, this very hour." And I know, my friends, having gone through myself, many people, many of God's people, my dear friends, are finding the going difficult. I read a wee book by Derek Bingham all those years ago. Don't wait until he is dead. Everybody needs to be encouraged right here and now. Someone prayed in the wee prayer meeting that there might be a word of encouragement. Bless God, that's what he's doing now. He's our sympathetic high priest. Yes, there's one who understands our hearts. Jesus, the best friend of all. He knows our every care and will every burden share. Jesus, the best friend of all. He's unchanging in his person. He's unchanging in his priesthood. And one thing which I was always taught, my friends, from my earliest days as a Christian, put every verse in its context. And it's not difficult to put this verse in its context because, you see, he's unchanging in his promises. For already it's said in Hebrews 13, verse number 5, "For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." That's a great promise, my friends. And sometimes older folk can teach even younger people something. I've been in Hollywood, I was there for 20 years. I was exercised to start this meeting for senior citizens. You still have it. It's called the Bright R. Now, senior citizens are kind of a dirty word when you get to my age. You don't like to be called. I remember getting a letter to attend the care for the elderly Dundong Hospital. I didn't like it too well, but it was the truth. But these brethren, two brethren ladies came along. They were lovely. Alice and June. Never forget them as long as I live. Went along to see them because they came. And they had attacks, my friends, on my right hand. For he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, listen to it very carefully. They said, you know, do you know that that verse means exactly the same backwards what it does forward? And just without any hesitation, my friends, they said it backward. Needless to say that I didn't try to say it backwards. And I haven't said it backwards since, and I'm not going to say it backwards right in this church because I will get tongue-tied. But that old lady taught me a tremendous truth. It means the same backwards as what it does forwards. And old Spurgeon has a wonderful sermon in this text. He calls it five negatives. I will never, 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 never leave thee nor forsake thee. Andrew Burnham was another great Scottish writer, great man of God. He too has a comment in Hebrews, and he said this that I just quote from memory. The man or the woman who clings to this promise, he will overcome the world. My friends, as you go out of this church this afternoon, take this promise with you. Because it will help you along the way. You see, great promises of this have not only encouraged saints, but they have encouraged servants of God. I love illustrations. As old Spurgeon said, they're like windows that let in light. And I love the story of David Livingstone, that great man of God. On the very day he was setting sail from Glasgow, some of his friends came to him and said, Dr. David, don't go. It's too dangerous. It's too difficult. And he said, Matthew 28:20 still stands, for he is, yeah, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I don't know how long it was, but he wasn't too long there until his wife Mary died. And on the very day she was being lowered into Mother Earth, David Livingstone cried like a baby. No harm in crying now when you lose a loved one. It's not a sign of weakness. My brother was the chief superintendent in the police, and my mother died all those years ago. I just took a wee look at him as the coffin was being brought out. And the big tears were strolling down his cheeks. Yeah. David Livingstone cried like a baby. But he was honest in his diary. A couple of weeks, he said, I've been very down and very downcast. But I've found comfort and consolation in this same text. It's encouragement to believers. It's encouragement to, my friends, the servants of God. And if you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, my friends. The promises of God are still the same. My daily text yesterday morning from Spurgeon was, Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise
cast out. And if you know about Pilgrim's Progress, you will know that that was the text that John Bunyan became a Christian. My time is almost gone, but I just want to finish off by telling you and teaching you some powerful doctrines that are taught by this wonderful text. I'm going to quote one or two theological words, but I'll explain to them very simply. First of all, then, this great text tells me and teaches me that Christ is the immutable God, that he never, never changes. Malachi had already taught that, or God had taught that through Malachi. I am the Lord, and I change not. Tells me something about his omnipresence. By that I simply mean he's everywhere, present at the same time. 22 years ago, I had the great privilege and the great joy. It wasn't always easy, but I had to preach in Romania when I was there through an interpreter. But I enjoyed the presence of God in that little place, my friends, as much as what I'm doing there. But the old psalmist said, if I ascend up into heaven, behold, thou art there. If I descend into the lower parts of the earth, behold, thou art there. Another great big word I'll explain to you very simply. The omniscience of the Lord Jesus. If he's unchanging, and so he is, my friends, he knows everything about each and every one of us. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting, mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Bless God, he's the all-knowing Christ. And bless God, if he's unchanging, he's the all-powerful Christ. For he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Forget about the illustration. Remember the words of the text. As we said at the beginning, life is changing, my friend. Might never be the same again. But in the midst of a changing world, we have a great, unchanging Savior. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. May the Lord just bless these few thoughts from his word. Our Father, we thank you for the relevance of your own precious word. We recognize that so many people have said, life will never be the same again. But we bless you that in the midst of so much change in the world, we have a God who never changes. Bless your word of truth to every heart and every soul this very afternoon, for Christ's sake. Amen and amen. Thank you for coming. Thank you for your attention. You can understand that. I love shaking hands with folk, but I simply can't do that. You have to obey the rules, that's it. Thank you very much indeed.